Well, tonight we have something that's going to be very educational for you, and it's going to be in the form of a PowerPoint slide, so you can just kind of pay attention and listen to everything that's going to be going on. We're going to be talking about what's going on with the dollar, collapsing of the dollar, and how this is being done on purpose. It's being done on purpose by the current administration. It's being done on purpose by the current world leaders, not necessarily the presidents of countries and kings, but the billionaires that are out there who are being orchestrated and led by the enemy to destroy the entire world. So, Father, we just thank you for everything that is going to be brought out tonight. We thank you for those that you chose to bring here, those who are listening online. And, Father, as we go forth with this teaching, we pray that it would go straight into the spirit man's of your people. And we pray, Father God, that everyone would have special illumination from your Holy Spirit. We thank you for breaking down every second heaven resistance. We thank you for coming against every principality and power that would stop your people from hearing the truth tonight. And we thank you for your love that you proclaimed over us, Father God. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So with the first slide, it's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And I wanted to bring this out because this is what we came out of. This is what we are no longer anymore. So when Paul is telling this, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, "In you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So the ones who are orchestrating this collapse of the dollar in the economies of the world have this mindset that we came out of. The same evil that you were delivered from and saved from exists in our world. It's ever present. Even though they don't know it, they walk in agreement with each other. It's going to be easy for them to be on one mind and one accord because they came from the same Father. So, and I need for you to understand this because, and I'm not talking about denominations, but the people who are in Buddhism and Hare Krishna and Islam, they're going to come to a place at point where they all work together against the Christians. And you need to be able to see that. Oh, they have different belief systems, but there's this thing that's called universalism, where you have a higher power and they have a higher power, and you have two or three different higher powers. So they believe that they can excuse what you believe and believe to, in order to work together. Here's this unity thing that the enemy has that the body of Christ is still trying to work on, because they can get in unity at the drop of a dime and come against us. All the witches can come against us, all of the warlocks, all of the evil people in the world, because they have this mindset already. The enemy can use them to do whatever he wants to do. There, I wanted to read this so that you can understand. Again, just pay attention. Also identified who is really running the country. This is a third term of Barack Obama. Obama is a ventriloquist with his hand up puppet Biden's back, making Biden's mouth move. Obama is carrying out the plan to destroy America with record speed. But Obama is just an order taker. The order givers are evil billionaire communists and globalists George Soros and Klaus Schwab. combined with the Chinese Communist Party. That's who really runs America at this moment. And every day with every new action, they make our country weaker and China stronger. I identified the actual plan they're carrying out to destroy America. It's called Cloward Piven. I learned it as a student at Columbia University, class of 1983. Cloward and Piven were a husband and wife professor team at Columbia. My classmates back then all bragged about being Marxists, communists, socialists, and globalists. And those are all of the ists that are trying to destroy not only this country, but the rest of the world. They all had intense hatred for America, American exceptionalism, capitalism, listen to this, white people, and most of all, conservatives. So you feel this racism thing that has been going on, white people, it is intentional, and they are trying to separate you and divide you from the rest of the world because God chose to give you Caucasian skin. That's terrible. But they have this belief system and they're using it and they're exploiting it against the body of Christ. They're exploiting it against you. These people bragged about their goal to destroy America with Cloward Piven by overwhelming the system with welfare and debt, thereby causing a collapse of the U.S. economy. My most prominent classmate back then was future President Barack Hussein Obama. Learned all of this, implemented all of this, and is implementing this now. Cloward Piven is the plan being carried out today. But to do it, these radical communist traitors needed to update the plan. Now, I want to stop here for a second because when the Islamic regime started coming out, the Islamic terrorism started coming out, they formulated a 100-year plan that they were going to use to destroy the United States and Israel. And they started implementing that plan. They started infiltrating the government here in the United States. And again, I don't have any hatred towards anybody, but if you look at the names that are in government leadership, they are Patel, they're Muhammad's, they're all of the different Islamic cultural names that are here. And they're here in the United States. And they're in your town leadership, your mayors, your school boards, your senators, your representatives, and they're taking control. When you look at what happened when Obama got into office in 2008, he made a clean sweep of everybody, put in people that he wanted to be in, and they believe what he believed. And those same people are still in office. They're still in these government positions, and they have been fighting against white people, and they have been fighting against conservatives to this day. And this is real. These 5 points from Cloward and Piven are this. Number one, have a front man who would not scare the American voting public. A friendly, smiling, old white man from the DC establishment. Biden was in office for 49 years, 42 years as a senator, and 8 years, well, it's just 50 years, 8 years as the vice president. Does he fit the pattern of a smiling old white man from DC? Number two, even better if he were suffering from dementia, as they could then easily manipulate this pathetic old man into signing anything they put in front of him. This is their plan. They have it out there. Number three, then they needed to open the borders like never before, encouraging millions of criminals and welfare addicts to illegally come across the border to overwhelm the system with crime, welfare, and debts. Number four, as a bonus, they could count on all of these foreigners to overwhelm the voting system too. thereby outvoting American-born citizens. As we know from the Afghanistans that were shipped over here, they were put on a bus. They were given cash. They were given food vouchers, identification, and some of them voted, are voting, will be voting. We're doing this to our own selves. Number five, throw in COVID-19 lockdowns, vaccine mandates, massive inflation, brainwashing of our young people. What a toxic mix. These are five points that Cloward Piven put out in 1983. And it took them till 2008 to implement these things and have been implementing them, and they're destroying our country. Okay, you can go to the next slide. The reset. How many people have heard about the Great Reset? Show of hands. Good, good. The Great Reset was proposed by members of what's known as the World Economic Forum. You can go to the next slide. They are a nonprofit organization with the main purpose of connecting innovative thinkers and world leaders together in one place for the unified goal of making our world a better place that runs more efficiently. Doesn't that sound just wonderful? It's wonderful. But it's a lie. They talk about world problems, issues we're facing, social injustice. Then they work on solutions to fix whatever needs to be done. Well, this Great Reset is a term that calls for change to current regulations and policies that put people first and businesses second. And if you look at our economy in the United States, we're not building anything anymore at all, period. So where is all of that economic prosperity going? Not to us. And a few of their priorities include placing a bigger emphasis on education, reallocating a percentage of government funding into sustainable green energies, and placing restrictions on companies that take bailouts from the government. Do you all remember when the auto industry started failing and they said, we have to do something to fix this? So they started giving them money for the car dealerships. Have you driven around today and looked at what's going on with the car dealerships? Are there any cars on the car lots anymore? What did that bailout do? It didn't stop what was going to happen to them eventually. They eventually are being destroyed. Absolutely right. And this is happening right before our very eyes. You're not looking at cars being made here in the United States. They're being made in China, Taiwan, Japan. The parts are being made in Japan and shipped back over here. No jobs for Americans at all. This is intentional. You have to see this. This is intentional. Their thought is that if we're going to be creating a $1 trillion stimulus, we may as well use this as an opportunity to address all of our problems and issues. It's better to find a solution now than wait for the problem to get worse. Beside that, there's another interpretation that the Great Reset is about spreading wealth, taking away private ownership of property, and then equally distributing that to everybody. Yeah. So you don't have a right to own a home. You don't have a right to own a car. Everything that you work for, have worked for your entire life, we're going to put it together in a pool, and everybody gets an equal share. Who wants to work after that? Nobody. There needs to be a social contract that we all have to abide by because of how interconnected we all are and the digitalization to as much as possible, leading us to meet the way, to reset the way we think and do business. Let me read that again. There needs to be a social contract so we all come together and say, hey, this is good because there's not going to be any poor people. Everything's going to be distributed properly. So we all agree that we're going to do this. So that turns into we all being interconnected. And if you look at some of the keywords, they have community and we're all going to be friends and holding hands and loving each other. And then digitalization. President Biden signed an executive order where he's going to start mandating that we start moving towards a digital currency. Again, these things are meant to destroy the American dollar. The petrodollar system, and this is very, very important that you understand this. Since 1929, there's been some periods of peace and prosperity, but also some big shifts that have happened between 1929 and 1971 that we're dealing with right now as a society. And right now what's happening is there's a major shift economically, not only in America, but globally. When World War I came about, most countries decided to get off the gold standard. The reason was that they didn't have enough money. They didn't have enough gold to pay for all their military expenses. During the war, the Allies, they were buying most of their weapons and their supplies from us, from America, and they paid America in gold. Because of this, America became the largest holder of gold after World War I ended. Most countries simply couldn't return back to the gold system because America was holding the majority of the world's gold. So those other countries had no gold to back their currencies. They were backed by nothing. Britain, they went off the gold standard in 1931. In 1944, 44 countries met in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire. At that meeting, the countries decided that their currencies would no longer be linked to gold. Instead, currencies would be pegged to the United States dollar. That's because the United States dollar back then was backed by gold. The Bretton Woods system was a guarantee that other countries, they could convert their currencies to U.S. dollars, and they could take those dollars and then trade them in for gold. The new system sounded fair to the 44 countries, and this is when the United States dollar officially became the global reserve currency. That was 19 in less than 20 years. So basically what I'm saying is they have tied, our dollar is tied to every form of money in the world from every country. They value it. They base that off of what their currency is. So in 1945, the United States and Saudi Arabia agreement created the petrodollar. U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt made an agreement of the century with the Saudi king whereby the United States guaranteed the security of Saudi Arabia, and in exchange, the Saudi king agreed to sell oil in U.S. dollars. If you wanted to buy oil, you needed to have U.S. dollars. The dominance of the dollar, and that is the power to purchase oil. The U.S. dollar has three superpowers: trust for trade power to buy oil. And lastly, it has all the excess Forex reserves invested in its own economy with $7 trillion in bonds. So let me back this up. We have gold at this particular point in time that backs our money. We have oil. If you want to purchase oil, you have to use dollars. And then we have our own treasury bonds, $7 trillion worth, that makes our economy strong. And everybody wants to be a part of that. So the purchasing of the petrodollar relies on the value of the U.S. dollar. So in 1929, we had an economic collapse. Some say that the Federal Reserve saved us from this collapse, but other people say that it was smoke and mirrors, that they really didn't do anything, but it was a system that was built and put in place to enslave us. And this is exactly what has taken place. And then in 1945, they decided to attach oil to the U.S. dollar. The purchasing power of the dollar relies on the value of the U.S. dollar. This is the Bretton Woods Pact. The deal was made so the world countries worldwide would trade international commodities that are always priced in U.S. dollars. The U.S. would protect gold reserves for other various countries as a part of the deal. So basically everything, all commodities would be traded in the American dollar, and we would hold it to protect their gold reserves in our country. This gave the United States a financial upper hand, and in return, the U.S. pledged not to use Federal Reserve to print massive amounts of money. But what did we do? We started printing money. The Bretton Woods Agreement fared well up until the Vietnam War. And American allies realized that the federal government was printing money like no tomorrow for war expenditures. Why did they get upset about this? Because this devalued the dollar, and it also devalued their currencies. So if we would have stuck to our agreement and stayed with the gold, it would not have caused them to be so upset. So that's when they started to come to us and say, hey, we want our gold back. You know, you promised us you weren't going to do this. Now you're doing it. Give us our gold back. In 1971, President Nixon said, nope, you're not getting your gold back. We're going to detach, in order to make you feel better, we're going to detach our dollar from the gold. We're going to get ourselves off the gold standard, but we still have a foothold because everything is pegged to the dollar. All the petrol, the petroleum, the oil, the trading is pegged to the U.S. dollar and still is today. The dollar has been the global reserve currency for the past 80 years. Prior to that, it was the British pound. About 100 years ago, most countries, they had their currency backed by gold. And this little bit of recap. Again, when World War I came about, most countries decided to get off the gold standard. The reason was that they didn't have enough money. They didn't have enough gold to pay for all their military expenses. During the war, the Allies were buying most of their weapons and their supplies from America and paid in American gold. Because of this, America became the largest holder of gold after World War I ended. Most countries simply could not return back to the gold system. So, next slide. Collapse. This is intentional. The U.S. dollar is the dominant currency around the world. It's the global reserve currency. Now, a lot of people are saying that the dollar is at risk of losing the status and that privilege. If the dollar were no longer the global reserve currency, that would be extremely bad news for everyday Americans, especially for low-income and middle-income Americans. Inflation would shoot up. Interest rates would skyrocket. The dollar would weaken. And the price of imports would soar. What's happening right now? Inflation is going up. The Fed just changed the interest rates to what, Barbara, 6.8%? Over 6%. The dollar's weakening. And they're doing this to us on purpose. The U.S. economy would essentially be in turmoil, and Americans would have a lower standard of living. Do you feel the water temperature in the pot getting hotter? They've done this to us. We've done this to ourselves. And I took the stimulus checks just like everybody else did. But who's paying for that ultimately in the end? You are. there is no free money. There is no free stimulus check. Eventually, your grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to have to pay for that $1,400 check that we got three or four times for those who got it. So they're weakening our economy. They're weakening our dollar. The majority of governments and central banks in other countries, they prefer to hold the U.S. dollar, but things are changing. Of the $13 trillion held in reserves nationally, about 58% of that is now U.S. dollars. So it used to be 100%, now we're down to 58%. When countries want to trade with each other, they prefer to transact in U.S. dollars, oil, gold, coffee, primarily. In this situation, there are a lot of benefits that are taken for granted. America gets easier access to money. Borrowing costs for us are lower. There's more demand for dollars, which makes for a stronger dollar. Imports are cheaper. It's also an economic weapon. America can threaten countries that don't play ball. If you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to make things hard for you. So there are some of the many benefits and privileges of being the world's global reserve currency. Next slide, please. The statistics show that the United States dollar is losing ground. Back in the year 2001, global currency reserves were 73% in United States dollars, and it's now fallen to 58%. Here's the thing. It took 21 years to go from 73% to 58%. That's a drop of 15%. However, you should know that the percentages fluctuated in the 1960s. It was at 45%, and now we're back at 58%. If our government hurts our economy and our currency, as long as we're not hurting worse than the other countries, then we're going to remain the global reserve currency. So, as long as we do what's right and don't have our money be devalued totally, no one's going to run away from the dollar. But if we start doing stupid things, they're going to say, no, we don't want to do this. And they're going to run away, which is what is happening today. Next slide, please. Vladimir Putin had enough of Ukraine, and he went, marched his troops into Ukraine, and started combat operations. The United States has interests in Ukraine. There is a lot of money laundering that goes on that has been taking place from the Biden regime. And it's been known for years. It's out there. This isn't anything new that I'm bringing out. So the United States said, hey, Ukraine's our ally. Putin, you can't do this. So because you're doing this, we're going to place sanctions on you. You're not going to be able to buy or sell anything until you move your troops out of Ukraine. Putin said, okay, we got you. We don't want to use your dollars anymore. We don't care about your goods and your services. We're going to make a deal with China. And they did. They have. Russia had international reserves. They had money in multiple countries around the world in United States dollars. And then the United States and allies froze those dollars from Putin. Those dollars became inaccessible in allied countries, turned a blind eye to Putin. Putin couldn't go anywhere. Nobody would help him. Countries that are enemies with America started calling us crooks. They're saying that's why the dollar should not be the reserve economy. So remember what I said a few minutes ago. If everything's good, but we're not as bad as everybody else, they're going to stay with the dollar. But if the perception of the United States changes as if we're being crooks and we're being unfair, the people who are staying on the dollar want to get off of it. They're not going to support us being the only people who have control of the money system for the entire world. So again, this is an attack that has been set up by the World Economic Forum leaders, George Soros and Charles Schwab. So with all of these things that are going on, they're saying this is why the dollar should not be the reserve currency. They're saying America is abusing their power. And the countries in between that don't love us, they don't hate us, it makes them really hesitant to hold United States dollars. It makes them want to diversify their reserves away from the dollar. And I want to tie this together with something that former President Obama did. He went around the world and said that we were bad. The United States was bad. The United States was unfair. He started spreading this narrative amongst the nations. So they have picked this up and they're continuing to run with it. This is not good for us as a country. It never was. Now, what we don't know, because we're hurting ourselves, we're crucifying our own selves by not drilling oil in our own country. We have the environmentalist tree huggers who are saying, if we drill oil, we're going to shut the economy down. We're going to shut the world down. It's going to cause global warming, climate change, and we're better people. So we're going to force ourselves into not using oil at all. We're going to force ourselves into not using coal and fossil fuels, things that are cheap, because we want to be the bigger people. It's all a bunch of lies, because India, China, Russia, United Kingdom, they've not stopped using the fossil fuels. They're still using the oil. They're still using the coal. They have this agreement that we signed in Paris that President Trump got us out of, where if you have so many carbon footprints, you start paying a fine to this World Bank, and they distribute this money to different places who are not of disobeying their rules. So when Biden got into office in 2020 through his corruption, he put us back into this agreement with Paris. So we're hurting ourselves, we're finding ourselves in following these things that are corrupted. And again, this is something that is destroying our dollar. It's destroying the value of our dollar. Russia is one of the second largest oil and gas producers in the world. So although we have an agreement with Saudi Arabia and other countries, we're selling gas and oil in dollars. Russia was being punished by us, so it decided to punish the rest of the world by asking them to buy oil in rubles. And Saudi Arabia is in agreement with this because they're smart. They see what's going on. They see the value of the dollar decreasing, and it's about money. So what did they do? They made this agreement with them that they're going to start selling their oil in rubles. So what else did Russia do? The countries that are in Europe, they are making them pay for their oil in rubles. What is this doing to the value of the dollar? It is driving it down. And we are sitting on the verge of a collapse of our money system. Your money that you have in a bank could be worthless if this continues. This is how serious this is. And we're doing this to ourselves. And I'm saying we're doing this to ourselves because we're allowing what's going on in our government to continue and not stopping it. By default, most of the European countries had to buy rubles in spite of their hating Putin for it. We are approaching winter, and everybody is so excited that gas is $3.17 and $3.41. And one thing they don't realize, we're in an election cycle. Our politicians are making us feel so comfortable because they want us to vote for them. And in the fall, in November, we're going to say, yay, they pushed gas down to $3.17 and they're doing a good job. What's going to happen after the election? Gas prices are going up and they're not coming back down. They're not coming back down. And when you tie these different things together, this is another force that's being used to devalue our dollar, set us up for the ultimate fall, and destroy this country from the inside out. What is going to happen when people cannot afford to pay for oil to heat their homes in the winter? And pray to God we don't have a bad winter. Because if you do, where is the money coming from for this oil? And start thinking about some of the elderly people who have fixed incomes. They don't have a way to recoup that money for extra oil, high gas prices, high food prices. This is the perfect setup, and we have walked ourselves right into this. Next slide, please. This is what the Russian banking system is trying to do. And again, I'm sorry, I did not realize they were this small. They're setting themselves up when they buy these, when you buy oil in rubles, you have to have that money transferred into Russian rubles, which means you have to use the Russian banks, which is fattening the pockets of the Russians. It's not coming back here to the United States. The money's staying in Russia. But we put sanctions on Putin, and we're hurting him. It's not working. It's not working. Just like the petrodollar, we're seeing the rise of the petroruble. And if you look at Russia's dollar reserves, they have been preparing to get rid of the dollar since 2014. Next slide. This here shows how much Russia has gotten off of the dollar. It started out at $150 trillion in 2013, and it went down to $398 billion as of 2021. They have prepared themselves. They have been preparing their industries to do this. They didn't know that this set of circumstances were going to happen. We didn't know this set of circumstances was going to happen, but they have moved, they have shifted, and they have prepared. If you see this graph, the U.S. Treasuries went down. Similarly, China has its leverage with the Belt and Road Initiative countries. China's Belt and Road Initiative is $3 trillion project whereby the Chinese have given out over generous loans. Listen to this. This here. If you don't understand how bad debt is and how they're using debt against you, listen to what China is doing. The Chinese have given out over generous loans to countries all across the world. And you know what? Under the Belt and Road Initiative, in total, there are 165 countries in the world who owe a collective debt of $385 trillion to China. They're going to do what China tells them to do. China is going to do what Russia tells them to do. Remember in the beginning I was talking about how they all are on one mind and one accord? They're working together, and we don't see this. They're Russian. They're not gonna get together with the communist Chinese. You know, they're not gonna get together with Poland. They're not gonna get together with France. They're working under the same spirits. They're working under the same evil, demonic mindset, straight from the devil. There's a lot that is going on in the spirit realm. On top of that, China is now the largest trade partner with these 25 Belt and Road Initiative participating countries. The leverage of trade for China is very strong. So you see, when the combination of both trade and debt, China could pressurize these countries to use the yen over the dollar. So now China has skin in the game. Okay, we'll use the ruble, but we also want you to use our money too. So where's the dollar at? Further devalued into nothing. So you see the combination of both. China could pull the strings of 165 nations and could drastically increase the circulation of the yen. Now the question over here is, all these countries are mostly poor countries, right? So how could China and Russia get rich countries like England, South Korea to skip on the dollar? Well, first, Russia is strongly supporting China and has already turned the Chinese yen into their reserve currency. Next slide, please. This says Indian companies swapping dollar for Asian currencies to buy Russian coal. This is a major move, and as far as the other countries are concerned, they have something called bilateral currency swap agreements. And this is something that even India is pursuing very strategically with its allied countries. So the question is, what is a bilateral currency swap agreement, and how does it actually work in international trade? Both countries get three major advantages. Number one, both countries can eliminate their exchange risk. They don't have to be concerned about what goes on with the dollar, whether it goes up or down. They make their own agreement with each other. Both countries can use their currency to exchange it for dollars if needed, but businesses in both countries can carry out trade more economically. So the business relationship between both countries gets better and better with time, and they don't need us anymore. See, we've had this power of the dollar and the petrodollar to control everything that we do, but we don't have it anymore. We're losing it. Next slide. 40 countries swap agreements. Most importantly, the dependency on the U.S. dollar decreases by a large, large extent. And guess what? Beijing has signed more than 3 trillion yuan worth of bilateral currency swap deals with more than 40 countries across the world. And this includes 400 billion yuan each with Hong Kong and South Korea. The Bank of England, the European Central Bank, 300 billion yuan with Singapore, and 150 trillion yuan with Russia. And the cherry on the cake, since China is the world's largest manufacturer, remember I said earlier, we don't make anything here in the United States anymore, with almost 20% of the world's manufacturing happening in China, they could further leverage this in order to push the companies to pay yuan instead of the U.S. dollars. They could flip the switch tomorrow and say, we're not going to take your dollars for the products that you're getting off of Amazon. You need to switch it to yuan and convert it. Think about that. Saudi Arabia is considering selling oil in yuan as well, which means if Saudi Arabia starts selling oil in yuan, a lot of countries would rush to buy yuan. And again, like we saw in the case with excess forex being invested in U.S. bonds, the excess yuans would then be invested in Chinese bonds, not in American bonds, but Chinese bonds, making the Chinese economy more and more powerful. This is how China and Russia are slowly building the currency strategies to owe through the reserve currency thrown from the U.S. dollar. Executive order, next slide. The shift from oil to other renewable energy resources could threaten the petrodollar. The United States, under Biden, has created an executive order where we're going to start seeking alternative energy sources, solar farms, electric cars, other viable methods of transportation. Think about this for a second. If we get all of our cars off of oil and go to electrics and solar power, what is our government signaling to us with everything that you just heard tonight? Our government is trying to crash our dollar. Why such a push? Are you missing your plastic bags yet? Yeah, that's our government. Our government said you don't need plastic. You're destroying the environment. So you can't have them. We just bow down and let them do it. Where's the protest? Oh, you grumble and complain at the cashier because you don't have nothing to carry your groceries out with. They're still doing it. Hasn't been overturned. The radical environmentalists are destroying us, and we're letting them do it. They're in so many different places within our government. You know, it's crazy because when President Trump came in, that was the first thing that he did. He went after the Environmental Protection Agency and destroyed everything that they were for. Shut them down, got rid of their regulations. We wouldn't, do you remember where the, Playtex on Route 8 and Division Street, Route 13 and Route 8, that was going to forever be a Superfund site because it was chemicals in the ground. Do you realize that after President Trump came in and got rid of those regulations, you now have a beautiful Lidl, a grocery store, all kinds of things on that complex because he got rid of the regulations from the environmentalists. There's so many other places that this took place, and it's like, you can't build here because this used to be, and we want to make sure that the water's clean, and all of that's a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of baloney, and we as the American people are letting these things happen, and they are collapsing our economy, and they are destroying us. Last slide, Cloward and Piven again. Number one, have a front man who would not scare the American voting public, a friendly, smiling old man, old white man, from the D.C. establishment. Number two, even better if he were suffering from dementia, as they could then easily manipulate this pathetic old man into signing anything they put in front of him. Number three, open borders like never before, encouraging millions of criminals and welfare addicts to legally come in. Number four, as a bonus, they could count on all of these foreigners to overwhelm the voting systems, thereby outvoting American-born citizens. And number five, control us with COVID-19 lockdowns, vaccine mandates, massive inflation, brainwashing of our young people. God has said that there are not going to be any more lockdowns with COVID, but they're planning stuff. They're planning things to control us and manipulate us. You know, if you listen at the prophetic message that God gave Sunday morning, when God said he had to correct the things that were going on in America, and if you haven't listened to that message, I highly encourage you to listen to it, because a lot of people are walking around in a fantasy that things are not going to happen to the United States. And we can't live there. We can't live in this fantasy anymore. After hearing what you heard tonight, do you still believe that nothing's going to happen to us? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And people in the church are further putting this message out there that everything's fine and everything's okay. It's not. It's not okay. And there has to be a change in the heart of the church, the people in the church. If not, we're in deep trouble, even deeper than what you can imagine or think, because they're organized. They're moving forward with their agenda. They don't care that we come in here to pray. They don't care that we come in here to have church. They're still doing what they want to do. Something inside of us has to be closer to God and motivated to be on the spot with what he wants us to do and to open us up to a greater level of discernment so that we can be wise in this hour. There just has to be. And there's some things that I believe that are just going to happen, but we need to go down and do whatever the Spirit of the Lord is telling us to do. And we can't walk around with our head in the sand pretending everything's going to be okay. We just can't. You have something, Pastor Barber?
You know, you might say, well, why are you doing this in church service? God always told me that the body of Christ needs to be well-rounded. We have to understand what's going on everywhere, just not, you know, one service teaching everything's all right. It is not all right. It's not a scare tactic. It's God wants us to know what's going on so it doesn't catch us off guard. And, you know, so we can warn our fellow brothers and sisters. Now, God told me we're going to go to war again. It'd be World War III. He told me that 20 years ago. He said it would be with Russia and China. Now, with everything you taught here tonight, I can see how that has all come together. Yes. And where it's going to be, and I asked God, is it going to be on our soil? He said, yes, it is. So that war is going to be on our soil also.
Yes.
And see, the body of Christ hasn't been taught, and so they think that we're never going to be touched, but that's not true. You know, America has just devaluated themselves with their sin and letting things, just like you said, we just sit by and let them take away the plastic bags. You know, but this is what we do. We just, like the lady who took prayer out of school, we just sit by and let her do it. And it's time. God wants the church to rise up and take their rightful place in the community and start making the enemy back down. Yes. And just like God told me today, you know, people say they forgive, but they really don't. When God says he forgives, he forgives. And he doesn't care what your sin is. It is wiped away. But us here on this earth, and we say, look at somebody and say, well, we forgive you for what you did. We really don't, because we keep bringing it up over and over and over again. So church is not where it should be. Church has to get rooted and grounded in the Word of God and listen to what's going on around about us. And if you don't think that President Trump was done wrong but in the other election, then you need to really take that to God. Because God, in God's eyes, President Trump is the president.
Amen.
And Biden is just a part of the enemy's tools to destroy us like they planned. You know, my late husband said that the enemy has been planning for years what they're going to do now. And you brought that out tonight. And so true. We don't plan anything. We just fly by the seat of our pants and just let each day takes, you know, just do whatever he wants to do. But we must start seeking God's face because he needs us to be full of wisdom. And some of you sitting in here tonight, you know things that you really should have brought out years ago. And maybe, just maybe, we wouldn't be in the place we're in today. You sit and you learn all this stuff. You hold it into your bosom. You won't even put it out there anywhere. And it's time the church starts putting things out there. Just like the devil is. And maybe, just maybe, God will be able to turn some things around. But we have to know this. God said all the disaster was going to come down. But when the disaster comes down, his glory is coming down, and he's going to be keeping those who trusted in him.
That's so true. That's so true. We who are following the Spirit of the Lord, we're going to be okay. And let's always be clear about that. And we have to know exactly what's going on. Father, I thank you for everything that was brought out tonight. I just pray that it is sealed within the hearts of your people. I pray, Father, that we would be motivated to go to the next level and do the next thing that you want us to do. And Father God, we thank you that you expose what the enemy is doing for a reason and for a purpose. And we pray that you would reveal that even more to us in the days ahead. We cover each and every person here in the light and the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.